It's Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013, and you're listening to episode 316 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 31 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
My name's Chad.
I'm Pat.
And I'm Chris.
Dan, we need to make it rain for a Boy Scout with crazy eyes.
What?
Wow, I don't know if I would call a six-year-old kid having crazy eyes.
He is so enthusiastic. He's got the crazy eyes. It's awesome.
All right, if I'm going to blame anyone for this, I'm going to blame genetics.
Yes.
Because, all right, let me explain to you guys what's going on. As you guys know, in our most recent episodes, we did some host trading with Happy Jacks. And we had Stu and Stork over here. And then we
would do our laundry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mow the lawn.
Among other things.
Right. And then somewhere in there, we went over to their show and during one of their siesta type breaks. And, you know, we then recorded with them.
Yeah. Gave them solid gold.
And while we were on their show, they are right now raising money for type 1 diabetes, because as far as I understand, I believe it's Stu's wife, I think, has type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so he, the wife, and then I believe it's with their son and their daughter, each of them has a separate, like, I don't know, account or whatever you want to call it going. And they're like a team and they're getting pledges and then they're going to go on this walk and then the money goes to type 1 diabetes research. So we made fun of Stu and Cecily while I was trying to give the URL for it. And so as contrition, I had him re-give the link and said we would donate to it. I'm a six-year-old boy full of, you know, all kinds of energy and enthusiasm doing that.
Yeah.
Very plausible salute. You
That's
know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he was at the tail of their family team,
yeah,
which I thought was unacceptable. So we boosted him over Stu. So now Stu is the failure of the family.
Yes, as is his wand.
Which is fine. I mean, because I'll be honest, I don't pay a lot for my housework, so I'm okay with that. But here's the thing. That's not sufficiently humiliating.
No.
I mean, we don't just want him to be in last place. I mean, we want this to be like a 9-0 shutout game at the end of an LCS series. Mm-hmm. And so
I don't know what any of that means, but yes.
It's okay. It's okay. A sports ball. You don't understand.
Sports ball joke, yes.
Oh.
Fans.
Fans. Touchdown.
Colors.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
Anyway, I will put the link to that in the show notes if you want to go out there and donate to this. This is a real cause. Mm-hmm. We're not making this up. And Stu really is now in last place. We're not making that up either. And what we want is we want for his child to stomp him, because Stu won't come back for revenge the way that Pat will when his children beat him at something.
That's right.
Pat would probably, you know, I bet you one of these days we're going to pick a charity. And we're going to get one of Pat's kids to be like a team member, and we're going to put him over Pat. And Pat's going to like remortgage his house just to make sure his son does not defeat him in a fundraiser.
Life lessons. Build that self-esteem.
Life lessons. Going to debt for competition.
Chad said that it was the favorite show note I've ever written in, I guess, what, 7.5 years of doing the show. Was we talked about that where Pat, you were playing Uno against your son. And Chad said that my write up on that was his favorite. I didn't know how to write that one. So I finally just put down Pat goes for Father of the Year by taking a break from World of Warcraft to smash a stunt in a game of Uno.
Yep.
All right. So what we're going to talk about today is relationships outside of a game that spill over into the game.
Oh, Pat.
Oh,
Chad.
Our characters will always have the love we could never have.
Wait a minute, we can't have it?
Not in Missouri.
Oh, that's true.
You can have it in Iowa.
Wait, where? It was just okay.
New Jersey.
It was New Jersey. Yeah.
New Jersey.
Just dropped the,
right. So, yeah, if we role play in the far distant land of
Iowa,
the Garden State.
Let's go to Atlantic City.
Yes.
New Jersey, along the shores of the Dragon Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why mountains have a shore, but damn it, it makes sense in this fantasy world.
Yes, indeed. It does.
You just like imagining. No, all right, but
I like to see the waves breaking on the shore, on the base of the mountains.
Yes.
You guys can have your From Here to Eternity scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's very suggestive.
This is all.
You can do that. I'm telling you, man. Come on up to Iowa. You've been able to do that for a while in Iowa, so come on up.
And the cornfields. Really?
Yeah.
They run backwards.
The cornfields.
They run backwards.
Yes.
And everybody whistles when they do
so. You know, Dan asked me for a show topic for our second show, and I was like, when your games go into the gutter and how you recover from that. Yeah. Dan was all like, that never happens with this group. I can't even think of a single example when that happens. And this show.
Fine, now I'm going to have to get this back on topic.
Yes.
I'm going to have to turn into hair repertoire and get this back on.
Ooh, we like it stern.
Ooh, yes.
Oh. And
so.
Are you getting the podcasting writing crop?
Where this came from was
next week.
Well, it actually came from several places, but mm-hmm. I think one of our most recent iterations of it were two board games. Now we're going to go back to this from a role playing angle, mm-hmm. but it was two board games that got us thinking about this. And in both of these, basically what happened was we're friends, and as a result, we annihilated Chris.
Because they are not friends with Chris.
We love you, Chris.
And so in the first game, it was a game of diplomacy. And Chad, Wayne, and I, as three of the players, mm-hmm. basically said, you know what? Let's just play this game. Because everyone thinks like diplomacy, oh, the only way to play is you have to be a douche. Like, even when you don't need to be a douche, you have to be a douche. It's like mm-hmm. this uncontrollable urge. And so we said, you know what? Screw that. We're going to play this game completely on the straight and narrow. And so we made a treaty. We kept the treaty. We didn't screw each other over. And we mopped the map. And you can declare a multi-axis victory.
Yeah. And we were playing online.
Right. And so we declared a three-way victory with Wayne, Chad, and I guess, as our Axis powers or whatever we were.
Germany, Russia, and I think you were Turkey.
I was Turkey, yeah. I was Turkey. And we basically just declared our three powers to have won World War, whatever that was.
One.
I could never catch if that was World War One or the Napoleonic Wars or what exactly it's supposed to be. All right. But anyway, the second time it comes up is several of us are playing a game of Succession Wars.
Not me.
No, Chad was not involved, nor was Wayne. It was me, John, Chris, Johan, and Chris's friend, Scott's his name, right? That was Johan's buddy, whose name I don't recall. All right. But what happened was John knows enough about me as a person to know that I'm not big into backstabbing, traitor mechanics, things like that. So he and I basically have a conversation. I was playing House Mark. He was playing House Steiner. If you want to think of this kind of like a think of the inner sphere like a circle because it's shaped like a circle. I was the lower left. John was the middle and upper left. Okay, so we share a border. John basically said, okay, Dan, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. I said, perfectly fine. We completely demilitarized that border and sent all of our forces outward. And within about three turns, the game was effectively over. There was nobody that could stop us unless our allegiance imploded, which it wasn't going to. And so it was really just a question of how many turns it was going to take for us to finish up the last of the territory.
You know what my theory is on this? And this is, again, one of those theories that I don't think is a theory. I think it's a fact.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing is you're playing everybody in these games. Like, you're totally conning everyone. But you're playing the long game. The really long game. You are racking up game after game after game with all these traitor mechanics where you don't pull the traitor button until that one ultimate game where everybody trusts you
and
you f*** everybody.
We get to some diplomacy tournament.
Yes.
Get up to like the world championships.
Yes.
It's like going for the Olympic gold.
And then I trip them.
Yeah. Yep. And then suddenly I bust it out and I take the gold and $1 million.
And then you just do mic drop, done, out, and retire forever.
Yep. Yes, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the point is, though, you get these relationships that exist outside of the game that spill over into the game. And in those board games, you're supposed to be playing. I mean, I realize it's fundamentally an out of character strategy game, but there is supposed to be some degree of role playing, particularly in Succession Wars, because there are personalities. There's even game mechanics.
Well, even if there's not, it's what we do.
Well, right. And there's game mechanics that also do imply where the galaxy was at that point in history. For example, as House Mari, my leader for my faction isn't even in my own territory.
No.
He's actually stuck on Earth getting treatment from Comstar. Mm-hmm. And I actually would have to invade the Sol system, which is a huge game changer, to get my own leader back. But we have seen this in role-playing games as well, where two characters that should have a certain amount of tension, that should have a certain amount of difficulty trusting each other, are immediately out of the gate fast friends because the two people playing them are fast friends. Mm-hmm. Or two people that don't really know each other have trouble kind of pulling off that relationship. And I hate to get really stereotyping here, but look, I've seen the GM's girlfriend thing at play.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's a reason that's GM's boyfriend at play.
Whichever gender you want to go with. For me, it's always been the girlfriend or wife, but I have no doubt it goes both directions. Or somebody even the GM's not with, but is crushing on. And as a result, the GM gives that person all kinds of special favors and free passes on everyone and free hints on everything. And they get whatever they want because they have this out of character relationship that's spilling over into the game. Now, in my experience, it's usually a positive relationship. It may be problematic in the game, but it's positive. We'll come back to the negative because I think that's less frequent and has a much harsher solution. So we'll start with the positive. What have you guys done to bring that type of stuff under control?
Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've done nothing to bring it under control.
Yeah, I just bitch about it.
I'm not.
Let's talk about why, because I agree with you.
I'm not there to police the players, if that makes any sense. I don't want to be the GM who looks at a player and says, okay, that thing you just did, that's not in character.
Right.
Now, if it's something obvious, right? I mean, there's limits to everything. If we're playing a totally straight, non-magical, modern-day, serious game, and they start suddenly saying, your famous example, if I start flapping my arms and then fly away, you know, obviously, I'll be like, that's ridiculous and out of character and out of reality, and you're out of touch with the game. But in just interpersonal relationships, I just don't want to be that GM,
right,
who's the IC police. It's not my character. You know, right. I don't want the players looking at me and saying, well, that's not what would happen in this world.
That's not what you would do.
Yeah, that's not what. Why did the big bad do this? That's not what the big bad would do. That actually happens all the time to GMs. Players are always saying, well, I don't think that that would happen, or I don't think this would happen. And it doesn't infuriate me, but it's just like it annoys me because, one, they may not understand a bigger picture, and two, they're probably right and I'm wrong. And right. So that's just inherently annoying to me. But getting back to the player and their interactions, you know, it's like, let's take Pat and Beth. Pat and Beth are married and they're in the group and they don't do this. They don't,
because setting them off against each other is like an arena sport.
Here's what really happens. All right. There's a hot NPC chick or hot PC chick. Uh-huh. Pat hits on them, whether Pat's playing a male or female. Pat's character hits on them. Beth's character flies into a jealous rage and hates Pat's character. Now, mind you, I'm not saying Beth hates Pat and Pat's doing this. I'm saying Pat's character does the flirting. Beth's character flies into a rage. Beth's character gets all horked off at Pat's character. Pat's character then is like, you don't control me, woman.
It's seriously, these characters.
Every game, every time.
Have you ever seen those like 1970s and 80s counseling techniques where you use puppets to act out?
Yes.
That is exactly.
This is what role playing is.
It is like marriage therapy, except instead of hand puppets to role play things out, we have BattleTech characters.
Beth loves Pat very much. And Pat loves women very much.
And both are weaponizable facts.
Yes. Right.
Yes. This is true.
So, all right, let me ask, first of all, Julia, Chris, and Pat, who haven't said a thing. Have you guys encountered this? And when you have you done anything to deal with it?
I have encountered it, yes. Some of the examples you gave were, it's almost as if you were playing in my games. But to answer the question, have we done anything? And the answer is no. But here's what I wish we would have done, because mm-hmm. it's one of those things, like Chad was saying, when you're in it, it's almost kind of like it's the eye roll thing. It's like, yeah. Oh, here we go again, this shit again, you know.
Yeah, and you don't want to make waves.
It's like, oh, yes, of course, you know, so-and-so can get away with it because she's the GM or whatever else, you know, or that's one that the GM wants to bang. So, mm-hmm. or it's the wife or the girlfriend or whatever. It's just like, what are you going to do? I think, though, and like what Chad was saying, is, you know, you don't want to be the GM that sort of says, you can't do this.
Yeah, it won't be the IC police.
I think, though, that it's not fair to put it on one person. It's not fair to put mm-hmm. it on the GM. I think the whole group needs to come together as a whole and say, okay, time out.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous to the two offending people or however many people it is. It's like, look, this has gone on. You know, at first it was is okay because you were a new player, whatever, what have you. But it's just gone on too far. There's some level of favoritism going on here that's not being equally distributed amongst all of us.
Right.
And let's back it down and stop
now,
it.
I agree.
I think that's hard to do.
Right.
It's going to cause problems. But
and I think
I wish that we would have done it because it just gets old.
And I think you need to choose your battles, too.
Because, yeah, that's true.
Because I'm familiar with the story that Pat is relating. So, like, let's take the Pat Beth sort of joke example. It's not as intense as I made the joke out to be, but it is very amusing. But it's just that. It's just amusing. It's not something that we need to, you know,
address.
Circle the wagons and let's have a, you know, talk about this.
If it was a serious problem, we wouldn't be laughing about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the problem that Pat is talking about, where, you know, the GM is screwing this other girl and she gets all the loot and all the stuff and all the thing, and everybody else gets a bup kiss. And if the GM doesn't like you, there's even a third level of hell he sends you into. And, you know, yes, that is something you address. That is a battle you choose to fight, because then people stop having fun.
And unfortunately, the fight there could end up being that it's untenable anymore, and someone leaves. Like, you know, hey, you don't play with this group anymore.
Well, you know, and I could see that situation. You know. Now, and I'm not familiar with all the people who are involved, and that is something that didn't have anything to do with me. I could see that situation as an outsider. Perhaps the GM isn't realizing he's doing it. I mean, a lot of flirting is unconscious.
Unintentional.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and I think it's tough as well, because you really don't want to get in there in addition to monkeying with somebody's character at these really fine levels. I mean, what do you say to the person? I wouldn't want you to be as much friends with them as you are. Mm-hmm. I want you to be a bigger douche to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think certainly there are points where that does have to get addressed. Well, I do agree that the group has to be on the same page about it, but I think I would go a different tact, because you are now dealing with someone's interpersonal relationships that may be getting acted out in very subconscious and unintentional ways. As a result, I think you would be far better served by having the group on one page, but having one person talk to them about, say, hey, we've kind of seen this happening. It's really becoming a problem. We need to do something about it. Let me take the Succession Wars game as an example. John knows that I have real issues with deceit and betrayal. And there's a reason for that. And that's because of some things that I've had to deal with in my life that have really left me, you know, I mean, everyone's got their hot button issues. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, if it's totally out of character, if it's like NPC to PC, oh, the town guard betrayed us, I don't care. But if I start to see past that and I feel like the person...
You have a hard time distinguishing between the PC and the player.
Exactly.
In that situation. And so, in that issue,
in a game like Succession Wars, where there's not a real thick character veil, and we're certainly not talking about NPC adversaries.
Right.
We're talking about a PC with only a thin distance between them and the player. You know, if John was to betray me, it's not per se that I would take a game of Succession Wars as the end of our friendship, but it would drag up issues within me that, just like other people, don't want to deal with topics like certain kinds of violence, certain kinds of sexuality, whatever, in their games. This would bring up topics in my mind that would be very hard to deal with. And if someone wanted to talk to me about that, I think they would be far better served coming to me one-on-one and saying, hey, you know, this has become kind of problematic because we can't have a good game because of the fact that the first person to shake your hand has now effectively become the second axis of the winning power in the game.
Fortunately for me, that's never really been a problem on any sort of consistent basis. I mean, not to the effect that you guys have been talking about with, you know, whether it's distribution of loot or whatever. There certainly have been times in the past where a couple of the players have been, you know, more chummy with each other and have that reflect in their character relationship as well, as, you know, they made it sort of an in-game kind of dynamic, which, you know, was mildly irritating, but never, you know, truly, you know, really disruptive to the game, and never something that ever lasted really a long time. So, you know, I've been lucky in the role-playing situation to not encounter that. Now, and the board game situation has been an entirely different matter, where it seems to, I almost seem to be a magnet for screwing over in the manner that we just talked about, you know, with those two examples there. And then I actually had a separate example in a different game of Succession Wars where I was playing, where I actually had an alliance with somebody, or at the very least a non-aggression pact. I ended up attacking our mutual neighbor, and the guy I had the agreement with said, "You need to stop doing that." And I said, "Well, I'll wait and see what how he responds." And since the guy I attacked kept attacking me back, I continued fighting. And the guy who I made the alliance with then started to attack me. And I found out through conversation with him that him, those two are friends. They've had a history together as far as playing this game. And the guy, he said he couldn't trust me because he didn't know me. But he knew this other guy, despite the fact that we had an agreement. And I was doing nothing to violate that agreement.
In the diplomacy game where we all played, Chris and I had agreements, too, and I just lied. I screwed him.
And I have
that
to,
was my yes. plan.
And here's the thing. I have to admit.
Like I said, I'm a magnet for that.
I have to admit on the board game side, because some people may say, well, wait a minute. You know, these kinds of things, just as they wreck role-playing games, wreck these board games for that reason. Because if you have two people that are buddies, the game's already over. Why yeah. bother if they won't play the bad guy?
Yeah, there's sort of a reverse tension.
If they won't
to
be
it.
Sufficiently selfish.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I completely get that. Yeah. But I think on the role playing side, there are also certain things, though, that a level of friendship has allowed me to do the opposite direction. Chad, if you can think back many years, we were playing a game of Epoch of Rhysos before it even had that name, back when it was just purely Danvers. And there was a
Christian, I believe. Okay.
And there was a scene where you and I were both in character and our characters got in a screaming match. And here's the thing. Usually when that happens at a table, or at least in my experience, usually with people I've played with, that's a sign that out of character, people are getting mad at each other. And it's just coming out in the game. This was literally 100% in character. Chad and I were 100% cool with each other. I was not mad at Chad. Chad was not mad at me. We were not even mad about each other's characters. Nothing. Right. This was pure role play. His character and mine had a serious, I think it was some kind of like moral or conceptual disagreement.
I don't even remember what the fight was over.
Yeah, it was something pretty abstract and moral or whatever. And the two of them got in a yelling match. And here's the thing. If I had done that with anyone who I did not know as well as Chad, then the probably, one, I would not have been comfortable doing it. And two, my immediate thought would be, there's an out-of-character element to this. For example, I would never get in that kind of a screaming match with Pat. Because I know you're like me and that there's a really thin line between the character and the person. And so if our characters are screaming at each other, the first thought in my mind is going to be, oh, hell, either A, we've got an out of character problem where we're actually upset at each other. Or if we don't, I'm about to create one. You know, and some of that has to do with the type of person you are. But some of that also has to do with the fact that I've literally known Chad since I was 3 years old. That level of friendship has allowed me to do things that I would not normally do. But I realize that's often not the case. Typically, it ends up being abused and creating these alliances or, that really shouldn't exist.
There's also very few people who have known each other for 34 years. Or a family.
True. Well, 34 years, certainly then when you're only 37 years, old.
Yeah.
But the other way this can go is in a negative direction. And I've seen this happen, generally speaking, in two ways. One is there's an incidental issue. People are mad at each other at the moment. There's something about your character that's made me mad. There's something you've done that's made me mad.
I came to the game with some unrelated stick up
baggage, whatever it is. But it's the type of thing that within a week or two in a good beer and conversation, it's over. But I have also seen situations where you get some people involved who just plain don't like each other. And that starts to spill over into the game, sometimes in a positive way, because these people, they start socializing through the game and working out their issues. But a lot of times it's in a negative way, because I've seen those characters start to get tense with each other in ways that, just as the friendships weren't entirely in character, the tension was not entirely in character.
I've had people, no one on this show, but long, long time ago, I had a group where there was a married couple who had some issues in their marriage, unfortunately, and they were not working it out in real life, but they were working it out in game, and not necessarily in a good way. There was tension there. There was tension between characters.
Right.
Well, see, and I've dealt with it a little differently. Instead of it being like a long drawn out thing where the characters always had tension, I'd get sniped really hard. Mm. Like really hard by the character. Just walking down the path with our group and doing things, and all of a sudden just a snipe attack at me and then back off. And I'm like, how do you handle that situation?
Drive-bys are even harder because you can't point to a pattern.
You can't. And
anybody can make up excuses for a tree.
That's what I would always run into with one particular person. And it was really tough to deal with. I just shut up and just dealt with it. And I didn't enjoy the game.
Yeah, I think.
Walk.
Yeah.
Well, actually, knowing me, I would probably go, what the f*** is your problem?
Well, I think the deal is that when you are playing with a group, like, especially mine, I mean, we're all really good friends. Like, mm-hmm. if we wanted to, we could probably have, like, a 12-person group, and we're all pretty close-knit. And if I were to start something with him, it would be, mm-hmm. you know, group ending.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you just let it happen and deal with it. But it made the game really tough. Luckily, eventually, he left the game. So it ended up working out in the end. I got to play a level 13 character. It was great. But still.
Well, still, unfortunately, you had to deal with that. Because, I think the snipes are even harder. Because if you have a forest,
it's easier to point at something.
You can talk about it. If it's just trees, I can explain away any tree. You know, if I make a snipe, I just did that for this in-character reason, blah, blah, blah. And I can real easily, you're overreacting. It's just one comment, blah, blah, blah.
Why don't you have a sense of humor about these sorts of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, unless you have everybody backing you, the only thing you can do is just try to deal with it.
Well, and I think that's what makes the whole thing so difficult is the fact that what you're dealing with, it's not a game issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's friends or foes, these are completely out of character issues. And even when you start to involve the rest of the group, you've got a fine line to walk. Because on the one hand, you may, in order to address it, need to build a consensus. Because, for example, let's say that you're in a game of mine, just making it up, and, mm-hmm. and some random person makes a snipe.
Is it a pirate game?
Why not?
I want to be a pirate game. Okay. Ghosts?
Yes.
Excellent.
Ghost Pirates.
I'm in!
Which is a game by Bogarteed, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes. But it's not a role-playing game.
No, it's a card and sort of board game-ish sort of thing. Pretty cool. You pick copies of it at Fear the Con. I'm sure he's got a website somewhere. Or I'll just Google it. But point being,
what?
Let's say you're in my Ghost Pirate game, and somebody does a drive-by on you.
When are we playing this?
Wouldn't it be a sail-by?
Yes, yes.
And somebody does a sail-by.
Well, it could also be a float-by, too.
Yeah.
They are ghosts after all.
A roll-by? Oh gosh.
And
this just went to a weird place.
Are you aghast?
Oh, it's almost Halloween, isn't that cute?
Anyway. You want to hear my joke? Let me ask you this. You want to hear a Frankenstein joke?
Sure.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Go.
Go who?
Golem.
That took speech from my mouth.
But yes.
Point me. Anyway, somebody does one of these drive-bys on you, and if I've got your back, if I saw it, and you say, wait a minute, I'm not comfortable with that, and everybody else sits silent, it's just two people bickering over that tree. But if I can step in and say, no, dude, I don't know what your intentions were, but regardless, it made her uncomfortable. We're here to have fun, not to make her feel uncomfortable. Stop it. You know, or just please calm
down.
That's
hard to do, though.
Right.
It is.
People.
Well, it depends on the person.
Well, but here's the other. Here's
people
the
don't like to get up in other people's I mean, we're wired not to do that.
Which is why I think you should always. I'm a firm believer. You always start at a 1 and work your way up to a 10 if necessary. Mm. I have never understood people that started a 10, which is why if I saw a drive-by snipe. And Julie got uncomfortable. My response would be, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You made her uncomfortable. Just be careful in the future. You keep doing it, I'm going to go up to a 2. Mm-hmm. You know, but we're going to start this real cool. Hey, it wasn't cool. You know, it upset her. I don't know what she meant by it. No big deal. Just don't do it again. And immediately get back into the game. Don't give them time to stew on it. But there is a hard line to walk here because on the one hand, you want some kind of consensus so that you can deal with this, because if nobody agrees with you and nobody's got your back, it just becomes a bickering match between two people on a very out of character and personal subject. But on the flip side, if you start going around talking to people, you risk either factionalizing the group or starting these gossip circles, which really in the long term do far more harm than good. And I know everyone here has seen that happen. People trying to discuss something goes from discussing to bitching, goes from bitching to gossiping, goes from gossiping really to ganging up on people, to factionalizing, you know, in ways that are really not conducive to the friendships you're trying to foster through these games.
Oh, this show just went to a sad note. Sorry, everyone.
All because you're pissing off the wrong people.
I know.
Way to go, Jared.
Terrible. I'm such a terrible person. Mm-hmm.
I think that did a pretty good job of covering this one, at least for what we've got now. As we stew on this, we might come back with something later. Check the show notes. I'll try to have a link to Ogre Teeth's game stuff. Yes. I know I can find it. I just got to remember what the link is.
Your link should be the Let Me Google That For You link.
It should be. My link's going to be Google.
Yes.
With some search terms pre-filled and let you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2013. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.